We're on a path. The path that Peter is on, learning of our Lord, being taught of God, the things that brought Peter to the point where he wrote the two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter. And we've been following that through the book of Matthew on a verse-by-verse basis. But this morning we're going to begin in Joshua chapter 10. And I'd like to read verses 14 through... Wait a minute. Through 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hast not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. What a miracle that must have been. Now turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 10 if you would. Chapter 20. What a miracle that must have been. We've spoken about this just recently in one of my messages. I don't remember how far back, but we thought about, for a moment, took into consideration what it must have been like to be walking on dry ground when the Lord, by the using Moses, opened up the Red Sea. Israel crossed on dry land. What a miracle that must have been to see those walls of water standing straight up on each side of you. Especially with the Egyptians coming in behind you afterwards. What a miracle that must have been. What a miracle it must have been to see the rock. Every day you woke up and there's a rock of water. A rock with water coming out of it while you're out in the desert. What a miracle that must have been. What a miracle that must have been that we just witnessed. The sun stood still. A miracle that has never occurred before that day and has not occurred again since. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of one man that day, didn't he? What a miracle that must have been. When the God of all creation purposes miracles of this magnitude, what a blessing it is to see. To see it call to our attention, and we should stop in awe of His wonder. What a God we serve. We don't serve a God who is a God of maybes or mights or possibilities. We serve the God who is Lord of everything. We have been brought to the knowledge and faith, not something we have done of our own, but brought to that point where we hear the truth of the Lord of all things, Lord of all. Sovereign ruler of everything it is. In our text in Matthew 20, we are about to witness one such miracle of a grand scale. Christ is about to give living sight to two blind men on his way up to where he will redeem these very two that he's about to heal from all their sins. Look at me at verse 29 through 34 of Matthew chapter 20. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they, speaking of the two, cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still. And called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Luke records the very same thing over in chapter 18. Another such miracle, except this time it is but one man. And from what I can understand from the commentators, they seem to all agree that these are different healings. The one man being separate from the two. They seem to all agree that it's three men that are healed in this situation, in these two different situations. Mark records it in one of his, in his also, and he gives us the actual name of one of them, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And they believe that that's talking about the same one that Luke is talking about. We're going to look at all three of those in just a moment. If one turns their attention, though, to the difference between these three records, one's going to miss the similarities. So would you join me now in Luke chapter 18, and let's read verses 35 through 43. Luke 18, 35 through 43. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. And when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, let's turn over to Mark, chapter 10. And let's read Mark's account of this trip, this process where the Lord is leaving behind where he was, and he's going up out of Jericho into Jerusalem. The multitude of crowds are following him. Mark's account of this trip, this day or so that they're going up, starting in verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, speaking of Bartimaeus, he, casting away his garments, rose up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, my first observation, remember what I said before we began reading these verses. If all we're going to concentrate on is the differences between these three men and their account of that trip that they took, then we're going to miss out on the similarities. Did you folks notice some similarities?
Yes.
Oh, what wonderful similarities they are to me. The first observation is this great number followed the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. That's what the Lord says. And they follow me. Oh, to be one of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the true God, the creator of everything that is. To follow our Savior who gave himself for us. In Revelation 7:9, John is telling us a little bit about what the Lord has revealed to him. He says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number." What a great multitude of people there are that truly, we're not alone, folks. I know it seems like we can be very much alone. My brother Lee and his wife Shirley, I can't imagine what that would be like for them to be in Colorado without anybody to fellowship with. I'm pretty sure that I would have turned away from that opportunity. But yet Lee points out to me quite often, what about that young couple that were in Medford at one time under the preaching of Wayne Boyd? They had to move. They were transferred. They didn't have any choice. Lee has mentioned to me several times, he says, "John, I know that the Lord brought me here for this reason, to have fellowship with my brother and sister from Medford. If it wasn't for those two, we would have none." Great multitudes, folks, all over the world. Our God has his chosen people. Right over there in Marysville, there's probably 15, 20 right there. Up in the Dalles, Oregon. Wasilla, San Diego. How many more shall I mention? Our God's people are everywhere. It may seem like we're few, and we are compared to the world. But God has his chosen people in every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. Secondly, these men who knew their condition, they knew that they had not the power to heal themselves, called out for mercy. "Lord, I can't. I'm not worthy of it, but have mercy on me," because that's what mercy is, you know. Mercy is undeserved, unwarranted grace. Something that we don't deserve and we don't earn, but God is merciful and gracious to the ones that he has loved. In Romans 10, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." These men had heard of who the Jesus of Nazareth was. But they didn't just hear with their ears here. They had heard with the ears of the heart. They knew that the Lord could be merciful and healing. Many have heard about Jesus of Nazareth. How few believe that he can truly heal? These men knew, and they cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon us." The third thing that I take notice of is they called out, "Thou son of David." Yes. They had heard the word of the Lord. They knew the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. They heard of the power that this one had had going about the countryside, healing the sick, raising the dead. They had heard about the power that he would have. So they called him Lord. That's what you and I call him. He's Lord of all, sovereign ruler of everything that is. As I said a moment ago, not a God of maybes, not a God of, well, it's possible. But the Lord, the one with power. These men called him Lord. They had heard the word of God of who the Lord would be. And they called this one Lord. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I wanted that to sink in, so I held for just a moment. I wanted you to think about that for a moment. We call our Savior Lord because the Holy Ghost has given us the ability to see Him as Lord. Because the Holy Ghost has given us the ability to hear Him as Lord. Because the Holy Ghost has given us the faith to believe that He is Lord. We call Him Lord because the Holy Ghost has made it so. Fourthly, I observe a miracle indeed. The Lord of all creation, the true light of the world, stood still. This is why I took us to that. Don Fortner had started that with his message, and I thought, you know, that's a great place to start. The Lord made the sun stand still. Think about that for a moment. The true light of the world stood still for these men, just as He stood still for each and every one of us when He called us by His gospel. When we heard the light of the world for the very first time, the true and living God, He stood still for us. The Lord of all creation, the true light of the world, stood still. The love of our Savior and King, the love that He has for us is so great, we can only see and understand it. It's so great that we can't see it in completeness. We can only see it with darkly glasses. In other words, a small glimpse of what His love truly is for us. That day when Joshua called upon the Lord had the sun stand still for His people. This day, for these blind men, the Lord stood still for His chosen people. The sun stood still, taking the time to once again heal His chosen. What love our Lord has for us. In 1 John 4:10, we read this: herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for us, to be our atonement, to be our sacrifice, to be our payment. Notice in verse 49 once again of Mark chapter 10. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Can we not think of another where the power of God called out, Lazarus, come forth. What a picture. What a picture our Lord gives us. When He calls with power. Call, and He commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, He calleth thee. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And the last thing I notice is they all got up and followed Christ.
Yeah.
My message this morning is going to be on the subject of the oneness of true believers. And this is one of the points that will be of that message. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Our Lord tells us not to worry about the vipers. Their words can't hurt us. The the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. Amen. Stand.